Time now for NHL Hour with Bill Clement and Commissioner Gary Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
And the NHL Hour is officially underway. We're coming to you from the NHL Store, powered by Reebok in New York City. You're listening to us on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, or NHL.com. We'll give you the phone number right now. It's 877-645-6696, 645-6696. The email address, NHLHour at NHL.com. Bill Clement with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, getting ready to answer your questions via phone and email. You look as relaxed as I've seen you in a long time. Just kind of strolled in with a little pad about 45 seconds before air. You look relaxed.
That's because I didn't come rushing in exactly as we needed to speak getting on the air. I guess I had too much time on my hands. 45 seconds is too early. Boy, I got to cut it closer.
We can have somebody stand at the door and give you a signal to start running if you wish.
No. I'm actually dependent on the elevator, as I think people know. We are in the same building, our offices, as the NHL Store powered by Reebok, in which this studio overlooks. Actually, it looks very busy down there today. Are we having a sale?
Yeah, it's called a playoff sale. Your office is on what, 14?
No, 15. 15. We have the 11th through 15th floors. And we've been in this facility since late October, and it's working out very well for us.
How about your life this time of year? Does it become less or more complicated once the playoffs start?
It becomes more time-consuming.
It does.
In terms of making sure I'm on top of every game that's being played. You know, in the course of a 1,230-game regular season, there are some games that I don't get to watch or attend. And, you know, there are actually some nights where I'm not even, you know, focused on the game because I'm either out doing something else, either for business or, you know, what's left of my personal life. And
You have one of those.
I think so. My wife keeps insisting on it. Yeah. Well, no, summer's busy also. But no, and this isn't a woe is me conversation. It's constantly busy, and I spent a good part of this week in meetings dealing with the playoffs, scheduling issues, making sure that we have everything in place we want to do to promote the playoffs. And we even started talking, because it's not too late, about the draft, what we're going to do to open the season next year, the lottery, which is going to take place on Monday night to determine
televised.
Televised. We'll see how good a show that is. I mean, it was interesting the year we came back from the work stoppage, because all 30 teams were eligible and all had an equal chance. When you have a weighted lottery and teams can only move up a certain number of spots, I'm not sure whether or not this is going to be as exciting as everybody thinks, but for a one-time basis, people should tune in and see if it works. It'll either be the most exciting event or it'll be a big I told you so. But in any event, it's worth seeing. It's going to be on TSN. It's going to be on Versus. It's going to be on the NHL Network, and it's going to be on NHL.com.
Guess I can throw this cheat sheet away that I have then, because you just got it covered. Eight Eastern.
That's why I was in these meetings the last few days. And this time of year, it's incredible. I mean, you know, the passion with respect to what's going on in every game. Every call is magnified. You know, the intensity of general managers and coaches and owners, not to mention our players, you know, when on every call and every non-call, because every point now is so critical. But the best thing about what we're seeing in these incredible races, I mean, look at the East. I mean, you know, somebody may get their heart broken in the next few days.
Somebody will.
Well, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the incredible thing about it is this proves the importance of every single game in the regular season.
Without a doubt. There are
teams that wish they had some not-so-hot nights from October and November back to build in a little bit of a cushion.
Phone number again, 877-645-6696. We're preparing to answer your questions here with Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, on the NHL Hour. Pierre Maguire, analyst extraordinaire on NBC and TSN, is also going to join us coming up, I believe, at about 20 after the hour to chat a little bit about NBC's game that they have coming up this weekend. The last time, back to the lottery, just for one more point, the last time it was televised was coming out of the work stoppage. It was also the Sidney Crosby sweepstakes.
Well, but also the dynamic was different. It wasn't a way simulated lottery, and all of the teams were eligible to win. And so who was going to be number one, you know, you didn't know until we had opened up 28 envelopes. This one, because the most anybody can move up is four spots, depending on who wins. Although it's interesting.
And there are only 14 teams that are eligible for the number one
pick. And I don't think anybody as low as nine has ever won it. So the likelihood is this will impact a top five pick, and this is supposed to be an incredibly deep draft. So, you know, I think this will be fun and exciting. Whether or not it's great television, tune in and we'll find out.
Be the Steven Stamkos sweepstakes. Not quite the buzz that Sidney has, but he's NHL ready and should be a fantastic player.
It should be great. And I'm also advised, because I just got a cheat sheet, that the lottery will also be on XM 205, as opposed to what we're on, which is 204. Although it's interesting how to do a lottery on the radio, but that'll be fun.
It can be done. If we can do this show for an hour, I mean, it can be done. Hey, question is,
I'm not so sure which is the better basis of comparison.
One way or the other, you just keep paddling until television, it's till the little red light goes off, and in radio, until somebody rips your headset off and says, get out of here. By the way, is the draft lottery your brainchild, or was it in place when you took over as commissioner? I was having trouble with that timeline and the date that it started.
Well, the way you posed the question is very difficult to answer.
Was it in place when you took over as commissioner?
No.
Okay.
Calling it a brainchild, some people would dispute, but it was something that we took the initiative. If you remember correctly, there was a perception, not a reality, going back to the Alexander Daigle draft, I think it was, that some teams may have had an incentive not to win. By having it weighted, teams don't have any incentive not to win, because the likelihood of improving your position is so de minimis, it's hardly worth thinking about.
It's about 3 years after that fatal day that the Ottawa Senators wish they hadn't had the number one pick overall when Alex started to drift around the NHL to an acting career.
Stop it. You know, but it does go to one of the great adages in life: always be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, no kidding. How about the TV scene going into the playoffs? Sunday, once all of the matchups, many of the matchups may be set before Sunday. There's a good chance that a few will be set before Sunday. Is there some way you can summarize what happens inside the room with the TV executives and your VPs of broadcasting, with John Shannon and Adam McConey, all these guys trying to divvy up who gets what and when?
Pure chaos.
I bet it has to be.
Well, because and then people look at the schedule and say, God, what is wrong with these guys? The fact of the matter is, and we have different pressures on us than some of the other major sports in the United States, because we have major arrangements for televising our games nationally in both the United States and Canada. We have the CBC, who's primarily interested in matchups that involve a Canadian team. We have TSN, again in Canada. We have NBC. And we have Versus, of course. And so what you try to do is create a schedule that makes everybody as happy as possible. We also have the French, you know, RDS for the French language games as well. But everybody has their own agenda in terms of what they think is the best matchup for them. We've got to do a schedule that's fair to everybody. And we have building conflicts. And the broadcasters have their own schedules that they try and jibe with our schedules. It is, you know, so some people say, well, how come it takes 6-7 hours after the last game is played and we finally know the matchups to issue the schedule? The answer is sometimes we're clearing buildings. Sometimes we have no choice but to schedule back-to-backs. And a club will say, give us an hour. We'll see if we can move the concert or the circus or the convention or whatever it is, because we don't want to play a back-to-back. The complexities of doing the schedule in this short a window is intense. And in places where we share buildings with the National Basketball Association, it gets a little worse, because in their
unlike baseball and football.
Well, in our second round, it's their first round, so we can trade dates with each other. But in our first round, they're still in the regular season, and those dates are locked in and can't be moved. And Steve Hatzepetros does a terrific job. He's in charge of the schedule. It's a thankless job, because nobody is ever happy with it, me too included.
And Steve's a magician, though. He does the regular season, and he's working on mock scenarios right now for the playoffs, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. I get one every morning. And, you know, there are some disaster scenarios. You know, there are situations where we know clubs don't have their buildings for 3-4 days at a time, which they're not supposed to do. But sometimes there are extenuating circumstances. So, for example, the Pepsi Center isn't available for 4 or 5 days because the Frozen Four are there. Now,
yeah,
that's a good thing for the Pepsi Center to do, to host the Frozen Four for hockey. But if they have home ice advantage in the first round,
yikes,
we're going to see a scheduling configuration that people are going to scratch their head and wonder what we were thinking.
We're going to go to the callers. If you have a question about when your team is going to open up in the playoffs, forget about it.
But Bill will answer it,
okay,
but it will be nothing short of a guess. Why don't we start with Derek in Calgary? You're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Hey, guys, a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you for calling.
I just want to say, being a diehard Bruins fan, I think I'm going to end up having a heart attack even before the playoffs start.
you must have had one last night, particularly on that goal review.
I certainly did. And the thing of it is, though, it's other games that's also going to give me a heart attack. I went and flipped to the end of the Pittsburgh-Philly game because that has such a presence on the Bruins as well. And it's just absolutely amazing, Gary. And I just want to say, like, or ask you, did you expect this much parity this quickly? Like, because hockey got to be, this is exciting. I mean, I don't know if my team's going to be in. I probably won't know until Sunday or Saturday for sure, but this is crazy.
We believed that we could create a system and have rules of the game where the competitive balance would give fans the ability to believe, no matter who they rooted for, that their team had a chance. And we don't think any league, including our own, has ever seen competitive balance this good, this intense. The number of games that are left to play are small, and the amount of uncertainty in terms of matchups and who makes the playoffs is great, and it's everything that we had envisioned. And so this, I can't say I had envisioned that it would be exactly like this, but this was the type of scenario that we were hoping for as we were coming back to a new world.
10 words or less. The single greatest contributing factor to the competitive balance?
I think it's the fact that every team can afford to compete under the system that we now have.
Great.
And that has also made the game more entertaining on the ice, because it's now about winning, not about trying to neutralize skill because you have a $20 million payroll and somebody else has an $80 million payroll.
Okay, you exceeded the 10-word limit. You owe us 23 on the next one. Go ahead.
Put it on my chit.
Okay.
John in New York City, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204.
Hey, guys. What's up? How you doing?
We're good. How
great,
are you?
Thanks.
Okay. I have a gripe with Dish Network. I happen to have it, and there's a problem with the NHL Network. They don't offer it. And when I called last night, I called up Dish, and I asked them, I said, the woman didn't even know what I was talking about. She thought I said NFL Network. She said, what's NHL? I said, it's hockey. And then she goes, oh, I'll put in a complaint about it, but that's all I could do. And I just feel hockey gets abused in this country. ESPN doesn't cover it. It gets no attention in the New York papers. And I wonder why there's 3 teams in this area. I think, honestly, the Islanders should be moved. I mean, it's ridiculous, and I'm a Penguins fan, by the way, and I'm trying to get the Penguin-Flyer game last night, a very important game, a game I was looking forward to, and I'm stuck listening to it on radio.
Well, actually, let me try and respond to the variety of things you said. First of all, there are a lot of Islander fans who would take issue with the fact that they should move, and in fact, with a new arena or renovated arena, we think that they'll do just fine on Long Island, which has been full of loyal Islander fans for years. With respect to the NHL Network on the Dish system, Dish is only currently carrying the NHL Network in high definition, so you have to be a high-def subscriber. I believe within the next year, I think for next season, they will be launching in standard definition. So if you're not a high-def subscriber, you'll then be able to get it. I believe that's a function of capacity. The New York papers tend to vary on the coverage they give hockey. When the games are as intense as they are now, we get coverage in the major papers. But I also urge, to the extent you want to see what else is going on beyond what the papers give you, go to NHL.com, which is also my benediction on the point that if you can't get a game you want, if you're a subscriber to Center Ice Broadband through NHL.com. You can watch multiple games at a time. The streaming video is really good. You can watch a game. I was doing the same thing last night as I was surfing on television. I used the multiplex four screens to follow what was going on in a variety of games at the same time. And it's good. So there are options because of advances in technology that we never had before and that are only going to get better.
We're going to get that lady fired, too.
Well, I'm going to call Dish Network and complain about that. Yvonne in Anaheim, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204.
Sir, Commissioner, Mr. Clement, I absolutely love this show. And, Mr. Commissioner, I have a question for you because it's been bugging me now for years. What is your sweet players who, at the end of a playoff round, when a team has gotten eliminated, those players who have refused to go through the handshake thing? I love the handshake that NHL players do. It brings me to tears, even if I'm not rooting for that particular team. But as an lifetime Anaheim Ducks fan, I've seen that happen where particular players, after a tough round and we eliminate them, they don't go through the handshake line. And wanted to get your opinion on that.
I agree with you that the handshake line is one of the great things about what takes place in our game, with the intensity, the passion, the drama, the sheer physical exertion and stress that a player has to put himself through to come up against your opponent and congratulate or receive congratulations on victory, I think is perhaps one of the most elegant things in all of sports.
Agreed.
And it's something that I'm particularly proud of. The instances of players not adhering to the handshake line is very, very rare. And I think in most instances, it's probably a testament to a player who has just become so emotional and overwrought, he can't bring himself to an emotional level that's a little more sedate to bring himself to do it. I'm not defending it, but I think it's unfair to suggest that it's something that's a widespread practice. It happens rarely, and when it does, you're probably dealing with a player that's been so emotional he just can't get himself to that level.
Let's get your buddy Chris Chelios on the line and ask him, because he typically, I mean, I don't know, I don't think he's ever gone through the handshake. Like, did Billy Smith? Billy Smith didn't either.
Well, you know, Chris, we know, is extremely passionate and opinionated. So
it's the only reason he's still playing at 46. He's that competitive.
He is a physical marvel.
Unbelievable.
Yes, he is. Rick in Florida, you're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary. What can we do for you?
Hi, Commissioner. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Got to defend my man, Chelly. He's usually a pretty good sport. I know he plays on the ice, but at Anaheim series, he said he just couldn't even look in their eyes. He was just so disappointed. But that's not what I called. I had a quick question.
Sure.
Number one, I love what the NBA is doing with able to kind of, you know, be a fly on the wall for those timeouts, listening to the strategy. How magnificent would that be to be able to hear during the playoffs what the coaches are saying during, you know, the rare timeouts, and maybe hear in between periods? I just think more of that all access is something that the NHL could really take advantage of. And then just a second question, if I can. I have the standard cable package right now for the center ice. I want to get more games on high def. What will be my best option next year? I know Chicago just announced that all their games are going to be on high def next season. I want to take advantage of every single possible game on high def. And I don't really get that many opportunities right now with the standard cable. So I'll let you guys listen, answer those two questions, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
With respect to high def, all of the satellite cable providers are gradually increasing their capacity. I believe that both Dish and DirecTV are launching new satellites. What I would do is check with whoever your provider is and see what it is that they're telling you they'll be in a position to deliver for next season. They all deliver some high def, but they're not in a position because of capacity to bring all the high def games in, and then do some comparison shopping to see who's offering the most high def. I agree that high def enhances the game. In addition to what you get to see in terms of clarity and the horizontal view of the game, broader than it is now, in standard television, you also get better audio. It's clearer. You can hear skates cutting through the ice, and that goes to the other part of the question, we do mic coaches. Pierre Maguire, who will be on with us shortly, innovated inside the glass, so there's more commentary going on. We actually, on some of our network games, interview coaches or assistant coaches during the game itself. What happens, though, is not surprisingly, the further we get into the playoffs and the more intense it gets, the less willing a coach or even a player is to be distracted and lose focus for a minute to do an interview. But we are providing more and more access than ever before. We think it's something good that we can deliver from our game, because with the speed and intensity of our game and the nonstop action, the more times we can bring fans, viewers closer to the game, the more exciting that experience will be for our fans.
Access is so wonderful now compared to what it was pre-work stoppage. Having worked in the television industry for so many years, we had such little access. Now it's a breath of fresh air. I agree with the caller, though, that's what the true appetite of the real fan is.
And we're committed to delivering it, and this is another place where we're not going to be limited by traditional media, because NHL.com, we're launching our new video player, our broadband channel on April 9th. There will be unprecedented access to the game and to our players, and so we urge people to anxiously await that launch on April 9th. Why don't we go to Tony in Los Angeles? You're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM204.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Great. I'm a Minnesota transplant, unfortunately, living out here in Los Angeles, where hockey is a little more limited. A couple things. Extremely.
Wait, I don't mean to interrupt, but had you noticed that the Stanley Cup champs are your neighbors?
Yeah, they're not my neighbors.
No.
I'm Minnesota through and through.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm used to being able to, you know, turn on a local channel or head out my back door and go to a rink and watch hockey whenever I want. And unfortunately, extremely disappointed in the coverage that ESPN allows for our great sport. So I can't believe that in the heat of the battle as we are now, they're showing football, and that's, you know, you're months away. It's just disappointing. So that leads me into thanking you guys for the connection between XM Radio and NHL. I haven't listened to a regular radio station. I couldn't tell you how long. I'm tuned to you guys all day and all night. Find myself sitting in my car to listen to a Wild game because I don't get them on the TV.
Well, you know, XM, I mean, satellite radio, I think, was one of the great inventions. Between this station and my bias to classic rock, I'm with you. I could spend hours sitting in the car, although you can get it on your computer when you're a subscriber, and they have units at home. I actually have an XM unit in my house.
Right, and I do, you know, just for my job, I'm on the road a lot, so I'm constantly listening to games and everything, so it works out real well. And next question I had for you in the last one was, are we going to continue to get the NHL live network on TV? That's not something that is going to be taken away from us, the viewers, I mean, because that's the best channel on TV.
No, actually, we're looking to expand the number of homes that it's in and the number of subscribers, and if you're not getting it, we urge you to call your cable or satellite provider and see what you can do to subscribe for it. We think the NHL network is terrific, both in the U.S. and Canada. And frankly, for those people who don't think you're getting enough highlights on whatever your source is, go watch On the Fly every night, particularly On the Fly Final. It is the best highlight coverage of hockey that you can get anywhere.
Never ceases to amaze me the appetite that hockey fans have for the sport. And now, in our generation, in our era, there's a huge menu out there. It's fantastic, man. As much as you can take is as much as you can get. We're going to step out. We hope to have Pierre Maguire, the analyst extraordinaire, with us. Powerful Pierre, as I call him. He is powerful. One of the most powerful guys in the sport of hockey. You're listening to NHL. This is the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM204, and NHL.com. Back after this.
You're listening to NHL Hour with your commissioner, Gary Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM204.
Another requisition by you, music-wise.
The Doors? Yeah, actually, I'm going to tell an interesting story when we talk to Pierre, which is completely attenuated to anything we're going to talk about.
Okay, but a programming reminder for our show next week. We have to make room for your travel schedule in the first round of the playoffs. So instead of being on Thursday at 4 Eastern, the NHL Hour will come at you at 4 Eastern on Tuesday. Tuesday, 4 Eastern, and we'll be able to look ahead to the playoffs. And don't forget, NBC will finish up their regular season coverage of the NHL this Sunday at 12:30 Eastern, Chicago, at Detroit, NBC in the U.S., TSN in Canada. The man that is joining us now, I can't think of anybody that has a greater passion for the game than this gentleman.
Pierre McGuire, how are you?
I'm very well, Commissioner Bill Clement. Good to visit with you.
Where are you?
I'm driving on the 417 from Montreal to Ottawa to do a Boston-Ottawa game tomorrow. I'm getting into Bill Clement's hometown, Bill.
Well, you're driving now. I can't ask you tough questions because I don't want to be responsible for you driving off the road.
Well, actually, I want you to ask me tough questions because I'm traveling with my family. You know, to show you how important the NHL playoffs are, I asked my children's school if they would allow them to miss Friday so they could come up and see this game and spend Thursday night with their dad and their mom, because I leave on Saturday for about 2 months, so this will be the last time I get a chance to visit with them, and the school was nice enough to oblige. So I want you to ask me tough questions.
Well, you're a good dad, but let's start with something that people probably don't know about you. You grew up in New Jersey. How did you become a professional and college hockey coach and wind up being one of the leading broadcasters of the National Hockey League and number 79 of the most powerful people in the world of hockey, at least according to the hockey news?
Divine intervention. No, I actually grew up in Montreal until I was 16 years old, and then I spent my last 2 years of high school at a place in New Jersey called Bergen Catholic High School, where I played football and hockey, and then I went to school in upstate New York at Hobart College and was fortunate enough to have some success playing football, hockey, and baseball there, where I was able to continue as an athlete and play professionally over in Europe. And then I just got into coaching and worked my way up through the college ranks, first at Hobart, and then at 3 years at Babson College, where I worked with Steve Sterling, the former coach of the New York Islanders, and then went to St. Lawrence University for two unbelievable years, where I was fortunate enough to be found by Scotty Bowman. And he brought me to Pittsburgh with he and Bob Johnson and Craig Patrick, and the rest is history.
Well, before I let you tell us how Scotty found you when we're talking to Pierre McGuire, the not-so-interesting story that I'll tell is Hobart College homecoming, September 1973. I drive up from Cornell with my then-girlfriend, who's my wife of 33 years, to see Bruce Springsteen without the E Street Band, before the E Street Band was formed, in a movie theater, because that was the entertainment for homecoming for Hobart College. Anyway.
Well, yeah, Blue Oyster Cult actually went to Hobart College, so there's some for all the music people out there. There are lots of good musician people out of Hobart. Nothing like Cornell, though, Gary.
Nothing. So anyway, how did Scotty find you? Well, how did he take you away from St. Lawrence?
It's a great story. His daughter, Alicia, was applying to schools, and Mike Keenan had recommended St. Lawrence, where he had gone. And so one day, Scotty came by the rink, and he was sitting there with a ball cap on and dark glasses, and he was watching me run a practice. And he came up to me after the practice, and I knew right away who he was, and at that point he was working for Hockey Night Canada. And he said, at some point, I'm going to go back to the NHL, and when I do, I'd like to talk to you about it. So he asked me for my home number, and we just started trading phone calls, and pretty soon it became a very strong relationship. And he almost took the New York Ranger job, and he asked me to resign at one point from St. Lawrence to go with him to the Rangers, and I couldn't do it. And eventually he did not take that job, but about 6 months later he took a job with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he called me, and I met him out in Vancouver for the draft, and that was 1990. And in that draft, we took Jaromir Jagr with our first pick. We traded our second-round pick for Joey Mullen. With our third pick, we took a player by the name of Chris Tamer, and we moved along. But we drafted some real good players in that 1990 draft, and it's something I'll never forget, being on the draft floor in Vancouver. And, Bill, you probably remember this. This is when the commissioner was still in the NBA. It was amazing. There were almost 40,000 people in Vancouver that afternoon in the football stadium attending the NHL entry draft. It was a spectacular event.
are you trying to tell us that this whole career and everything you've done so magnificently was based on serendipity, a chance meeting with Scotty Bowman?
I'm not kidding you.
That's incredible.
Timing is everything, sir.
Well, but you've got to make the most of it, and you have. Speaking of which, you're credited with innovating inside the glass. How did that come about? And tell me what it's like to be outside the booth, the third man on a team, talking about what's going on during a game, and what makes it fun, easy, and what makes it hard and difficult.
Well, first of all, I think Sam Flood, the big producer at NBC, deserves a lot of credit for coming up with the idea of Inside the Glass. And I also think the National Hockey League, with you and Bill Daly, deserve a lot of credit for having, you know, the gumption to go to the owners and tell them this is something we have to do and we have to try. And I also think the players in the National Hockey League and the coaches in the NHL deserve a lot of credit for going along with it. The fun part is the interplay with the players and the coaches and being able to feel the speed and the intensity of the game at ice level. The tough parts are getting hit over the head with a stick, you know, having to hear guys challenge one another and having to turn my mic off when I wish everybody else could hear it, but I know it's a family show. And then having to maybe be critical in a situation where players on both teams can hear you. Those are the toughest things, but I think if you're going to have any credibility in the job, Gary and Bill, you have to tell it like it is. And one of the things I think Inside the Glass does is allows the people at home to feel the perspective that's going on both on the ice and both on both benches.
You know, interesting, in talking about being critical of players, something I thought was particularly fascinating happened in the game on Sunday between the Rangers and Pittsburgh when you accused Sidney Crosby of embellishing to get a call, and then he took offense at it and told you exactly why you were wrong, and then they subsequently came up with the video showing that he was right and you were wrong. Describe to everybody what happened, what the dynamic was, and how you felt when you learned, in fact, that you were being unfairly critical of Mr. Crosby.
Actually, I felt really good when I had to apologize because it shows the value of videotape. And what happened was Ed Olczyk was upstairs with Doc Emmerich, and I thought that Sidney had embellished, and the initial replay clearly showed that he did. And then Sam Flood and Carlos Di Molina in our truck were able to find another angle, which shows actually that Scott Gomez's stick came up and did get Sidney Crosby in the face. And when one of his teammates told Sid during a TV timeout that I thought that, or I had said that I thought he had embellished it, Crosby came up to me and said, "Pierre, check out my mouth guard. I wear a mouth guard. It's got black tape on it from Gomez's stick." And meanwhile, the Ranger players were taunting him, saying nothing hit him. Gomez and Brandon Dubinsky were taunting Crosby. But when we got the right TV angle, I apologized to Sidney, and he thanked me for apologizing. And I just did a Penguins game last night between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and he said, "Hey, I really appreciate you going to bat for me. Thank you very much." But I will tell you this, Commission, this is serious. The week before, I did a Vancouver, Colorado game, and I called Peter Forsberg an embellisher on a certain play, and the video didn't lie. He was embellishing. So I'm one for one.
Well, I wasn't trying to do this to keep score. The point I was making is you almost became part of the dynamic of the game. And the question for you is that a good thing or a bad thing, and where do you have to draw the line?
In that situation, I thought it was a good thing. I also think you got to be really careful in terms of the interplay. There was a situation during the playoffs last year between Buffalo and the New York Rangers where there was a disallowed goal, and the Buffalo Sabres weren't happy about the disallowed goal. And their general manager, Darcy Regier, was standing right next to my replay monitor. And you know how hard it is to work at Madison Square Garden because it's a different kind of situation than most of the places I work. And Darcy saw the replay on TSN, the other company that I worked for, and he went nuts and told Lindy Ruff on TSN clearly it was a goal. And so we kind of got caught, TSN and myself, basically being told that we provided information to the Buffalo Sabres that the New York Rangers didn't have, which wasn't true at all. But there was no way I could protect that video replay screen from Darcy Regier's eyes. So that's where it becomes tough. But there's only one building in the league that's like that, and that would be in New York.
You work for TSN and NBC. Are there conflicts? How difficult is your schedule? How do you work it all out?
I'm on the road 230 nights a year, Gary. I fly almost 250 to 300,000 miles a year. I got an unbelievably understanding wife and two children that get what daddy does. But most of the time it's, you know, you get your schedule in July from TSN and the NBC schedule comes out, and we never really have weekend games on TSN. And the weekend games are on NBC, so it works really well. And the same thing holds true in the playoffs. And I'm just fortunate. I love the people I work with at TSN. I've been there a long time now. We're like a little family on the road. And our NBC crew has been together 3 years now, and it's been an unbelievable ride working with Doc Emrick and Eddie Olczyk and before Eddie, John Davidson. So I feel real grateful for the opportunities I have.
The races for the playoffs, and we're talking to Pierre McGuire, the races for the playoffs are simply incredible. They're not going to be decided until the weekend. Who do you think is going to wind up not making the cut in the East and the West?
I'm worried about the Ottawa Senators. I'm worried about them because their margin for error is very slight. They've had a terrible second half of the year. They've got huge question marks in goal, whether it be with Ray Emery or Martin Gerber. Their defense is really suspect. They don't have a lot of speed on the back end. And they're a one-line team with Daniel Alfredson, Jason Spezza, and Danny Heatley. So offensively, it's tough on those guys because everybody matches up on them. You know, they play a tough game against Toronto tonight in Toronto, and then they have to turn right around and play against a rested and motivated Boston Bruins team. But if Ottawa does make it, then I think the Philadelphia Flyers are probably in a little bit of a bind because of their schedule. They host New Jersey, and then they, you know, have to play
Pittsburgh.
A real tough game on Sunday against Pittsburgh, exactly. So I look at it, and I'm really hopeful, not because I'm cheering for anybody, but I think Alexander Ovechkin, now that Sergei Fedorov is there, I think the Washington Capitals have an unbelievable opportunity to make a huge splash here and get one of those last playoff spots in the East.
And what about the West?
I think in the West, Gary, the biggest question mark for me is Nashville going to be able to not just win tonight against St. Louis, but go into Chicago and play against a really young, vibrant, and dynamic Chicago Blackhawks team that just spanked the Detroit Red Wings last night 6-2. See, Nashville has no room for error. I think Luongo is going to throw together two of his best games coming up, one against Edmonton and one against Calgary. And so I'm counting Vancouver. Even though they're out now, I think they have a chance to bounce back by Nashville if Chicago can hold up their end of the deal tomorrow night.
And who are the four teams you predict for the conference finals?
Oh, my goodness. You do ask tough questions.
Nah, this is easy.
Ask your kids, Pierre. They'll give you the answer.
Thanks, Bill. I think in the East, I'm looking at the New York Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins as being probably the two teams that will play in the conference final in the East. And I would say in the Western Conference, the San Jose Sharks will play against the Anaheim Ducks.
And who hoists the cup in June?
I'm going to stick with what I said on NBC. I'm going off the charts. I think the New York Rangers are going to do a magical dance with the cup. Defensively, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. I think they have one of the few goalies that can go the distance in Henrik Lundqvist. I love the fact that Chris Drury plays as their number three center. It's got unbelievable chemistry with Ryan Callahan. I just think that their power play is about to explode and percolate at the right time. They have guys that have won Stanley Cups in Drury, Gomez, Shanahan, and Yager. And I think their coaching staff has done a magnificent job and can coach them out of trouble in the playoffs. So that's my dark horse team to win the cup, the New York Rangers.
Fascinating. I'm going to ask you one question, and we're talking to Pierre McGuire before I let you go. You mentioned Ovechkin. You're building a team from scratch. Do you take Crosby or Ovechkin, and why?
I would take Sidney Crosby, not because I dislike Alexander Ovechkin, but I think what Sidney Crosby does is he can make the players around him better in terms of his puck distribution, and the fact is that he's a versatile guy. Alexander Ovechkin is obviously the best pure scorer in the league that we have right now, and he can manhandle people physically. But I don't know if he has the same passing dynamic that Sidney has, and that's the one thing I'd be looking at. And, you know, I'm a little biased. I've known Sidney longer than I've known Alex. That being said, they're both spectacular talents. That Malkin guy's not bad either, Gary.
No, he's not. Pittsburgh's got a heck of a team, and it's young.
Yes, they do.
Hey, Pierre, thanks a million for joining us. Hey, do me a favor. Make sure you don't run into the knock over the Bill Clement statue as you drive into Ottawa. It's been a couple of years since I checked it. You could take a look at it. Let me know if it's in good shape, okay?
I will do that, Bill. Actually, you know what? I always see that statue, and I'm on the other side of the Ottawa River when I'm driving from Mont-Tremblant, Quebec, to Ottawa through Thurso. That's where I see that Bill Clement Guy Lafleur statue. You guys shaking hands together.
See that?
Incredible. I'm going to have to take in that site. I've obviously missed something special on my trips up there.
So have I. I haven't seen it.
Pierre, go back to your family. I'll see you down the road. And thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Bill. Take care of yourself. Good visiting. And the playoffs are going to be spectacular. Buckle up. This will be fun.
Okay, Pierre. Thanks. We'll see you on the road, man.
Take care.
Pierre McGuire, who will be on NBC at 12:30 Eastern this Sunday. Chicago will play at Detroit. Talk about a team having another team's number. That is Chicago and Detroit. We thank Pierre McGuire for joining us. We appreciate your patience. The callers that are holding, let me give you the phone number before we go to break so you can also line up if you're not on hold, as is. 877-645-6696. This is the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice XM 204 and NHL.com. Back in a moment.
From New Jersey, but I'll let you tag us back.
That's
in
some
first.
Business. We just want to talk Bruce Springsteen. Television notes. Don't forget, Monday night at 8 Eastern, the draft lottery will be televised. 8 Eastern, NHL Network, TSN versus in the U.S. Also will be carried on XM 205. The Steven Stamkos lottery is what it's being referred to. Also Sunday, 12:30 Eastern, Chicago and Detroit. NBC will have that game in the U.S., TSN in Canada. And another reminder, our show, the NHL Hour, that's our show, Gary's show, my show, will be next Tuesday at 4 Eastern. We're going to move it from Thursday to Tuesday to make room for the playoffs.
Sounds good to me. And in honor of New Jersey's native son, Mr. Springsteen, Robert in New Jersey, you're next up on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Hi, Commissioner. In your last segment, you just mentioned the value of video replay.
Yes.
I was at the Devils game last night, and the eight-minute video replay, only to have it turned as not a goal, and there was the clear video evidence as shown both on the Boston and New Jersey telecasts. Can you explain the length of the delay?
Yes. Actually, and to respectfully disagree with you, there was no clear video evidence, and that's why it was ruled no goal. What happened was the official on the ice, and Dvorsky and O'Halloran were the two referees working the game, and I forget who was down low at the time, did not signal that a goal was scored. Play stopped, and they went to video replay. Virtually everyone assumed it was a goal.
Because Tim Thomas virtually signaled that it was a goal.
Everybody's reaction, everybody in the building, I happened to be watching the game on television at the time, and so the video room in Toronto was waiting for every replay angle possible, and they kept looking and looking and looking because, again, everybody assumed it was a goal, and not one feed, not on MSG, not on Nesson, did they show any of the feeds show the puck actually fully across the line. And that's why, since there was no conclusive evidence that it was a goal, and since the referee on the ice didn't signal it was a goal, they couldn't call it a goal. Because what we believe we have to use video for is to make sure we can say, to however we made the call, if we said that was a goal, we had to be able to demonstrate that it was a goal, and we couldn't do it. If you want to suggest that there was any error here, and I think that might be an exaggeration because the official didn't see it, the referee didn't call what everybody else seemed to think was a goal, but there was nothing on any of the video replays that we had that showed conclusively that that puck was in.
It's pretty tough to award a goal on a player's behavior, too, isn't it?
Well, I mean, some of the commentators were being a little critical of the video replay, as our caller was, and when you analyze it, if we had called it the other way, somebody would have said, well, show us the goal. Show us the puck in the net.
No doubt.
And we couldn't do it. And that's why it took so long. I know Coley Campbell's view on this is, and it's one I subscribe to, obviously, is even if it delays the game a little bit longer, it's more important that we get the call right than we just rush through it to get it over with. Because if we drop the puck and we get going because we didn't want to hold the game up, people are not going to be satisfied if we got to the wrong answer.
Especially this time of year. Especially. I know it's important at any time, but especially this time of year.
John on Long Island, this is XM204. You're on with Bill and Gary.
And how are you doing this afternoon?
We're doing okay. What
yes,
about
sir.
You?
Not too bad. I'm on my way to the Nassau Coliseum to hopefully see the Rangers clinch a spot tonight.
I'm not sure Islander fans will like that.
No, I know the Islanders are going to give them a tough time for sure.
Absolutely.
My question is, what's going on with the IHF agreement with Russia and Sweden? Any new news on that?
Actually, I spoke to Rene Fazel, who is the president of the International Ice Hockey Federation, last night. We traded phone calls today. He has a series of meetings going on with the federations over the next couple of weeks, and we hope to be in a position to know one way or the other whether or not we'll have a transfer agreement for next season. If I had to guess, it's probably more likely than not that we'll have an agreement, and that it's probably also more likely than not that the Russians will continue not to participate. But there is a chance that we won't have an agreement at all. And we think it's important because it provides for nice, orderly flow of players without any conflicts between the various countries in Europe and the NHL. But if, in fact, there is no transfer agreement, I think ultimately what will happen is the players who want to come here will insist on having buyout provisions or will insist on signing short-term contracts. So if there's a problem from not having an agreement, the marketplace will adjust probably over the next year.
Probably see very few Russians drafted in the first round this year.
Well, and you saw that last year.
Sharapanov.
Russian players have dropped precipitously in the draft because it's a little riskier.
Can't get them. Yeah, you don't know when you're going to get them here.
If at all.
Yep.
Scott in Bridgeport, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204.
Hi, guys. It's a pleasure speaking with you again.
Thank you for calling.
I had something to comment on, drawn from last night's play as well, but it's an idea that I had thought of probably during the long days of the lockout and the competition committee's effort to continually add more offense to the game. And I know it's an ongoing process, but last night, late in the Jersey-Bruins game, Brian Gionta supposedly threw an elbow into Shane Knighty's face, and he reacted appropriately and drew the penalty call. Replay showed that he did actually nick him a little bit, but again, Chico and Doc Emmerich were in denial. But anyways, the reason why I'm commenting on this is one thing occurred to me. I remembered thinking that when a player in the offensive zone takes a penalty, an infraction, especially in that scenario last night, I think there was roughly 34 seconds to go in the game. The Bruins get a power play, and they have to win a faceoff in their own zone. I'm wondering why, or maybe it has been thought of, why wouldn't the faceoff come out of the defensive end for Boston, who now has the power play, and put it in the offensive end for them, if that's something that's ever been thought of, or even in the neutral zone.
It's actually something that was discussed at the last general manager's meeting, and it's something that we're taking a look at, and we'll probably discuss with the competition committee when they meet in June.
A blind swing, and he hit a home run with that question.
It's a great fan who's thinking about the game on a regular basis. That's terrific. Paul in Atlanta, you're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're good. Were you at the All-Star game?
Heck yeah, I was. It was an awesome event.
Yeah, good. It was great.
I remember you.
That was the one sitting way up high.
Okay. Good to have you with us. Again.
I appreciate it. I just wanted to thank you for everything you're doing for the NHL, including the NHL Network. It's an awesome thing, and the XM programming. My question is regarding the NHL Center Ice Package. I've been a subscriber since the very first year that it's come out. And one of the questions I have is, I noticed on some of the channels, I'm a big Pittsburgh Penguins fan, born and raised in Pittsburgh. It's going to be a good year. And the question I have is, on some of the NHL Center Ice games, as soon as the game is over, it goes to back to the blackout screen. You know, the game won't come on right until, like, the start of the game. And then at the end of the game, the channel will go off. So there's no kind of pregame or no kind of postgame interviews or anything like that on certain channels, which is usually the Pittsburgh station that I'm watching. But some of the other programming, some of the Canadian networks and stuff like that, the programming will go on and on after the game's over for like an hour, half hour, hour. It seems kind of random. And I was just wondering if you had any ideas or any thoughts about that.
Absolutely. In fact, we like the fact that some of the coverage includes pre- and post-game segments and coaches' interviews. Two responses. One, we seem to get more games with greater access and coverage out of Canada because we've been in a better position to clear the rights. That's something that we're working on to get more extensive pre- and post-game coverage for all of the feeds. But in addition, one of the things you'll see as we launch the new video player, particularly for next season when we launch it on the club websites and we revamp them all, is you'll have access to the post-game press conferences on NHL.com and the club websites as well. So we're trying to improve the coverage on Center Ice through the cable and satellite providers, but we're also going to see what we can do to provide alternate feeds and streaming through the Internet. But very good questions, and it's just another way that we're going to try and increase the ability of our fans to connect with the game in all sorts of ways. New technology is simply wonderful. Gustav in Switzerland. This may be.
My name is Gupta. I'm calling from Switzerland, from Bern.
Well, welcome. I think you're our most distant caller. And isn't it past your bedtime?
No, it's 11 o'clock here in the evening.
It's past our bedtime.
And I always following the NHL games or listening the games every day or every through the year. So, yeah, I'm a big hockey fan. I'm an Indian guy. And, yeah, it's an honor to speak with Mr. Batman.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah, welcome. I have a question. How is it, do the NHL will open an NHL store in Bern, maybe, in Switzerland?
Well,
that would be really, really a pleasure, you know, because it's very difficult to buy the items. Just you can do it just through the internet and like that. And if you have a store here in Switzerland, in Bern, that would be the best thing.
Well, we appreciate the feedback. We're actually in discussion with Reebok currently about opening stores in Europe. And since we have some games, regular season games, that we'll be playing in the fall, if we can get it together, that would be a nice time to be opening a store or two as a prototype of what we think we can do on a worldwide basis.
Our first caller from Switzerland.
Yes, from that far away.
Fantastic.
Why don't we take Keith from New York? You're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Thank you, Commissioner, for taking my call. Just real quickly, the Penguins-Flyers game last night was on NHL Center Ice through the Dish Network on Channel 559, which is actually, I'm understanding, as a high-definition channel. But it was also blacked out on NHL Center Ice Online. I got to spend $15 to find that out last night. Because of RDS apparently blacking the broadcast out, and I understand that same thing's going to happen on Friday night with the Devils game.
We'll have to take a look at that, because I actually saw the Pittsburgh Philadelphia game on Center Ice broadband. So we'll have to see if we can clarify.
Yeah,
this.
Stay online here. Dan, our guy working the board, is going to get in touch with you. That's it for us. The NHL Hour is come and gone. We'll see you next Tuesday at 4 Eastern right here on XM 204.